Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. Okay, so the reactions on Facebook and Instagram, I'm just going to be a little relevant today just for a moment, so, and then I'm going to be relevant in the Word. But I mean, honestly, you felt like your retinas were burning in your soul from some of the things we were reading. And a lot of people had to step away. They had to step away. They had to close it. They had to back off because people were saying just really emotional stuff. And like I said, some people, you know, were hurting. Some people were happy. But I can think everybody was offended, right? I think everybody at some point, somebody said something that's offensive. And I started to look at our world. And it just began. It began to get more and more divided, more and more divided. And I look at us as a body of Christ. We're multicultural. We're multigenerational. And there is a spirit, like Pastor Jess was saying, where division wants to come in. But I want to encourage you, church, that God is saying something else. Because if we seek God during those emotional times, He's going to talk to us. He's going to tell us. So I began to pray to God, and I said, God, what should I do? And this is what God told me. He said, there's room at the table. He said, there's room at the table. You see, we can get offended and we can get annoyed and very angry and very hurt by what people say. And I know we're using Facebook a lot because I think it's very easy to say what you want and it affects so many people. But this doesn't have to be if you say, I don't have a Facebook, I don't care about social media, but this is in your real life as well. And we can tend to want to close off and say, you remember from Forrest Gump, you can't sit here. Okay, you remember that? Seat's taken. Okay, and we can tend to do that, and we can feel like we have the right to say that. We have the right that they can't sit at this table, but I want to tell you that we need to be a church that looks at the world and we say, no, there's a seat for you. There's room for you. Sit down. Come on, sit down and let's have a conversation. Let's talk in love. Let's not spit hurtful things out. I had a girl in my life a while back, and I mentored her, loved her, discipled her. And maybe parents with older kids, maybe this is how you felt, because this is what I felt like. And she did something, and it just disappointed me. And I just felt very disappointed. In fact, I was very shocked, very disappointed, and I felt like going like this. Fine then. You can't sit with me. You got yourself in a mess. You did something. I've poured into you. I've loved you. I've done this for you. Can you tell how pride and all our validation wants to rise up? I said, you can't sit here. And the Holy Spirit told me, nope, there's room at the table. There's room at the table. See, church, we have something so important to this world. We have something so important that they need, that we need to make sure we leave that open room at the table for people. Turn to Revelations 3 with me. Revelations 3, and you said, oh my goodness, her first verse is in Revelations. Woo! Revelations 3, and Pastor Jess quoted part of the scripture, but about being lukewarm Christians, but I want to jump down to verse number 17. It says, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with an eye salve that you may see. Verse number 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. I love Pastor Luke, how he taught on chastening is correction. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke, I correct. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father at his throne. And he who has a an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This verse is talking about people who think that they know it all. They think that they are clothed, yet they are naked. They think that they are wealthy, yet they are poor. They think that they can see, yet they are blind. Can we look at the world today and say that we probably know some people like that? And our job is not to close off here, but to say, can I offer you the true riches? Sit at the table. Come on. I know you can't see it clearly now, but listen, there's an eye salve here that's going to heal your eyes. There's a food here that's going to fill you up to where you won't hunger anymore. There's a drink here of hope, because I know you're afraid of what's going to come in the next years, but there's a drink here of hope that you've got to taste, girlfriend, because it's going to fill you up. See, our worlds, their hope is how many likes can I get and how can I get accepted? Their hope is for a Kim Kardashian body that the waist ratio and the butt ratio does not make sense to me. We can't have that. We want it. I don't know where it's at. It's true, right? But we can unite on this thing. We can unite on this thing, filling the table. Girls, let's fill our tables. Let's fill our realm of influence. Yes. Let's tell the world that has bought a lie on so many things. So many things that if I'm educated, then I don't need God. Or you know, if I'm rich and if I'm not in need, then why do I need church? Yeah. Or, you know, if I sleep with this person for one night, hey, it don't mean a thing, okay? I mean, that is such a lie. It is such a lie, and people have bought it. They're naked. They are broken. They are hungry. They are not rich. They are poor, and they don't get it. But here, when we sit down with respect, and when we sit down with love, and we say, sit at this table, let's talk about it. Because I want to tell you, someone needs to invite her to this table. Someone needs to invite her to this table. There is a temptation to say, you head down to that table, girl. But we need to be obedient to God. Sit at my table. Someone needs to invite her, the hard-hearted girl, because life's been too tough. Someone needs to help her feel the ointment and the oil of the Holy Spirit to massage her stone heart. The insecure who shows too much. You know what I'm talking about. She needs to be invited to the table so that she needs to know her value. The one who's experienced loss so deep that it aches. She needs to be invited to this table to let the love of Jesus hold her. Hold her. The smart one who knows it all already. She needs to come to this table and let her be shocked. Let her be shocked by how deep the love of God is and how amazing His word and His knowledge is and the excitement she can have to learn. The angry one. She needs to know that she doesn't have to carry that pain anymore. Someone needs to invite the one who's gone too far and never expected to be where she's at. Someone needs to invite her to the table to know that there's restoration, that there's life after that mistake. Or the religious one who judges so much. We need to invite her to the table to let her know there is freedom and there is joy and that there is grace. We need to invite him to the table. So today I just want to tell you three ways that we can fill the table. Number one is this, is a burden for souls fills the table. I can teach a three-point sermon on a burden for souls. I can teach a three-point sermon on, you know, how to do this and how to do that to get people saved. But the best way I can explain it is how I've experienced it, is it's a burden. Yeah. Is it's a thing that you carry that doesn't feel like it's heavy in a negative way, but it's just always there with you. And in Matthew, it says in Matthew 11:28, It says, then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For the yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give to you is light. You see, there is just this thing, I don't know, when you start to love people, there's something that you begin to carry with you, and it's always with you. And it's like this burden to where I can see you're empty, I can see you need something, and it's easy for me to say, oh, come sit down. And there's a burden for souls on your heart. Turn to Luke 15, and we're gonna go ahead and look at this. In Luke 15, it's a whole chapter of how much God loves the lost. It's a whole chapter of how important souls are to him. In Luke 15:1, when I was frustrated at that individual, a while back, I was just frustrated, and I wanted to close off this chair, and I wanted to say, sorry, you made the choice, you know what you were doing. God spoke to me, lost sheep. Yep. Sorry, I knew I was going to cry. Let me read you the scripture, you'll understand why. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him and to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Sit at the table. So he spoke this parable to him. He says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he has laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. The one. And we want to close it off and we want to say, no, you lost your chance. And God says, think about the one. Think about how much I want that lost person. And what can feel like a negative burden of, oh, I got to talk to them again. I got to, you know, talk to them and pray with them again and help them through this again. God's saying, I've trusted you with treasure. Yes. I've trusted you with people. I've trusted you with hearts, ones that I would leave the 99 to go find the one, because he loves people so much. That's something, if we can get that into our hearts, it'll be a burden for souls that will fill the table for the kingdom of God. If you want to read for yourself in Luke 15, the parable of the lost coin, very good as well, but we're going to skip to the parable of the lost son. The whole chapter is about lost things being found, and we get to play that part. But it says in verse number 11, we'll go ahead and start off. It says, and a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country and wasted his possessions with the prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would have gladly had filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, that no one gave him anything. He began to get into himself into a situation he never thought he'd be in. He'd never imagined himself there wanting the food that the pigs were eating. See, there's people God brings into our life that they may do offensive things, and we can't believe that they've done this and they've done that, but that does not mean that we close off the seat to them. Because let's read on to the scripture. What is Jesus teaching it? But when he came to himself and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, I love that. When he was still a great way off, We have people that think they won't sit at this table. They are so far from God, they won't sit at this table. But I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you, invite them anyways. Step out in faith, step out in love, and invite them anyways. Because it says, when he was still a far way off, and he said, I will rise and go to my father's house. He was still a far way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He repented. And his father saw him a far way off, and he loved him. And he fell on him and he kissed him. He said, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf here. And he began to have a party and he began to say, for my son who was lost is now found and he's come home. See, when people are ready to sit at the table, we need to remind them that, oh yeah, there's a party here for you. You are welcomed here. What can happen is when we start to divide, we can say, well, you can't sit here. You're not the right age yet. I don't really understand you. I don't understand where you're coming from. But instead, we need to say, no, at this table, we're going to rejoice for one that comes and sits at this table. We're going to have a burden for souls for anybody. I mean, five salvations this morning. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's revival. God is moving. God is doing something. We must have a burden for souls to fill the table. Number two, Spirit-led invitations fill the table. They fill the table. I love the story of Zacchaeus. Go ahead and turn a couple pages to Luke 19, verse number 1. So Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who grew up in children's church. You know the song? Zacchaeus was a little man. And a little man was he? Okay. just checking in with you, my children's church people. Okay. Who was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. That's wow, what a description. But he was also hated. Many people did not like him. Nobody liked him. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, and he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I have half of my goods. I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is the son of Abraham. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Obviously, he's God. Okay, but you and I can be led by the Spirit too. He saw a man who wanted to change. He saw a man who was in the tree and the fruit was ripe. Okay, come on, somebody. There are people in your life that you need to be Spirit led by, and you need to realize, you know what? I can see it. They are ready. Now is the time to invite them to the table. And that's when you take the chance. And that's when you invite them to sit. I have a few fruit trees on my property, and we've lived in this house for about a year now. And so when the fruit season came around, I was so excited. I'd watered them, and I had plums, and I had peaches, and I had another plum tree, and apricots, and all this stuff. But it began to get overwhelming because all the fruit pretty much ripened at one time. So in my head, I'm like, I'm going to have fruit all summer, okay? And then it was like, I could not even pick it fast enough. See, there is ripe fruit before us. And it is so true when the verses say, but the laborers are few. See, if we are led by the Spirit to invite people to sit at the table, to talk to them about God, to share the love of God with them, salvations will happen and these tables will be filled. But you and I have got to be led by the Spirit. We've got to step out with that. I love how Jesus called his name. He said, Zacchaeus. See, there's a lot in a name. There's respect and there's love with that. Many times when we When we want to invite people, we want to fix people. And we can almost get into a place where it's like, hey, you millennial, come here. Let me tell me what you're doing wrong. Come here. Let me tell you. Helicopter mom, I got something to say to you. Sit down right here. Yeah. But Jesus didn't say tax collector. He said, Zacchaeus, good. I'm going to eat with you. I'm going to sit with you. I'm going to talk with you. And after all that came this great salvation and turning of Zacchaeus to where he was just not a good man, yet he paid back everything he took. And it was a great salvation and turning. And many times if we think, well, I've got to do this and I've got to tell them this and I've got to say this. And yes, that can all happen at the table. But first off, let's be led by the Spirit and say, come on, let me call you by name. Sit down with me. Let me show you the love of God. Let me show you what's at the table. And you'll see salvation come because the Holy Spirit is working on that person. That's how it's going to happen. Amen. What does an invitation look like? You're thinking, do I have to preach? Am I supposed to be giving altar calls in Stater Brothers? Like, what am I doing? Can you tell me what I'm doing? You know, an invitation could look like, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? It's easy. You know, do you need help? Yeah. Do you need help? I remember a person on Facebook was saying how they were having a hard time riding the bus. They were injured. They had to go to the hospital to get care for some infection. And I was thinking, why are you riding the bus? You know, and it's just, can I help you? Can I take you to the hospital for you? My goodness, don't ride the bus to the hospital. Okay? And just simple things like that. Do you need help? You know, hey, it's Christmas time. You know, say, you know, we're going to cook together. Come cook with me. We're making tamales. You can invite me to the table. Okay? But I'm in the kitchen. In the kitchen, there is such a time to talk about God. Yeah. There are those moments as you're working together and things just come up. And the invitation happens at right there in the kitchen. Come to the table. How about let's do coffee? You know, Sandy, which she doesn't know I'm going to talk about this, but Sandy is this amazing woman who is at Women Rock. I don't know if you know Sandy, but she is like this social media amazing woman. And she puts together all the collages that we post every single week and gives the rundown of what happened at Women Rock. And Sandy gave an invitation just to invite Beth over and Ariel over. And what I love about that is that we're closing these generational gaps. We're closing those gaps. And Sandy's just saying, come on, sit down. Let's talk. Let's talk about life. Share where you're at with me. And can I tell you, as someone who's a little, you know, younger now, maybe in a few years I won't be, but I can say we want to sit down with you. Yeah. We want to sit down with you. The younger generation wants to hear your stories and we want to hear your wisdom. We want you to pour into our lives because we don't know it all. And maybe we may act like it, but we don't. And we want to sit with you. So invite your world around you to sit with you. That's what it looks like. I remember as a teenager, I got saved in youth, and I just started working at the sandwich shop. And so we would take home sandwiches, you know, every night, which was the cool part about working at the sandwich shop. So I had these sandwiches, and I remember seeing a homeless family, and they were sleeping in a doorway. So, me being the born-again Christian teenager I was, I said, I need to stop and I need to give them these sandwiches. And I saw a Spirit-led invitation. And so, I stopped over and I said, excuse me, would you like these sandwiches? And I don't want to embarrass them. I just want to give it to them and go. And all of a sudden, the person turned around and it was a boy I went to school with. And he was a boy who was awkward. He didn't dress nice. He didn't smell nice. He didn't speak very well. But I was kind to him. And that was a Spirit-led invitation to where I could give him the sandwiches and then not trying to embarrass him, but tell him, you know, Jesus loves you. And God has a plan for your life. And I remember after that, I always wanted to be kind to him and show him the love of God. And I know he received it. And I don't know what he's doing now with his life. But all of us, if we would just take a moment out and be led by the Spirit just to give somebody something or to speak into their life, it's going to fill the table. Number three. The last one is when we have a burden for souls, when we're led by the Spirit, then salvations fill the table. Then salvations fill the table. In Matthew 22, and we're getting to the last verses here, but in Matthew 22, there's the parable of the supper and the wedding feast, excuse me. And it's really interesting. It talks about salvations, and it says, let's go ahead and start in verse number five. So a man had started to have a wedding feast for his son, and he invited people, and this is what it says, but they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies and destroyed the murderers and burned the city. In verse number 8, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who are invited are not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you can find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways, and they gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into the darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. It's an interesting parable because it says they invited the good and the bad. Because I know maybe you guys are thinking as I'm preaching, at least I know I might be, okay, I hear what you're saying, I need to invite people, but how do you keep the integrity of the table? Where does that all fit in, Pastor Michelle? Well, I like this scripture because it says they invited them the good and the bad. And at the table is where they found the truth. And at the table, they were given a choice. At the feast, they were given a choice. You see, at this table, they're going to look at faith. They're going to look at truth. They're going to look at change. And they're going to say, I can't swallow that. I can't swallow that. But our job is to offer it to them. Our job is to invite them. Our job is to say, come to the feast. It's for you. But if you choose, it's your choice. It's your choice. And you know what's hard about the world right now is they don't want to change. They don't want to change. But we can offer it to them. Because there's love and there's grace to change. I love this grace series that the church is doing. And if you don't know about it, they have a podcast of Q&A that Pastor Dan has done. And it's very relevant. It answers a lot of questions that people have. But there's grace to change. And if people don't sit at the table, they don't know that. They think they have to live in that sin. They think they have to live in that addiction. And while it may be offensive to tell them that there's freedom for that, they need it because I needed it. You needed it, right? Aren't you thankful for the grace of God that delivered you from so much? Aren't you thankful that was here at the table? Aren't you thankful? And that's where salvation comes. I love what Beth Moore says. If you don't know her, she's an amazing author. But she says, don't let someone's tattered view of grace trick you into thinking that you cannot be liberated from your blatant rebellion or sin just because they haven't.
Yeah. So good.
Because at this table, there's freedom. At this table, there's mercy. At this table, there is salvation. And the Lord will speak to them. God is their judge. Who kicked him out of the wedding feast? Because he didn't have, the king did. Because he didn't have the right garment on. The king was the judge. But you and I bring the love. You and I can bring the truth. And you can say, here's your day of salvation. Here's your change. Here's your hope for tomorrow. And we can do that. You know, in Matthew 13, we're not going to read it, but there's a parable of the wheat and the tares. It's a great parable to read. Because I know I was raised in church. And you know what's right and wrong. And you're thinking, how come they get to sit at that table when I know they're doing wrong? And in that parable, there is a farmer and they seeded wheat in the field. And then the enemy came in and he seeded weeds or tares. And then the servant said, well, let's just go rip up the tares so that, you know, we can make sure we have a good, healthy crop. And the farmer said, no, you're gonna rip up the wheat as well. You're going to rip up the wheat as well. Listen, when the truth is displayed on the table, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to them. There's always chance. You can speak into their life salvation. You can speak into their life change with love and all that. But let God be the judge. I know we want to rip people out and kick them out of their seats and say, you can't sit here, you can't do that. But our job is to bring them to the table, show them the love of God, and give them those choices of change. Yeah. And it's all how we present it. Yeah. If we present it in a negative way, but if we present it in a way that this is going to bless your life, this is what you've been waiting for, just like Pastor Jess gave the opportunity today, it can happen. So at the table, now we have it full of salvations. There's all different types of people who are here. And there's chances to get offended. And there's chances for disagreement. And that's what the body of Christ is, right? You know what's crazy is they wrote some verses on this. I got to show it to you in Colossians. And I'm wrapping up. This is my last verse for today. Colossians 3. 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, that's you, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. We can do this, girls. Let's fill the tables. What's in store for Women Rock 2017? Bigger tables, more chairs, more invites. I want to see us permeate our world. I want to see us go and invite our sisters and our neighbors, and as you see opportunities, you take it. I was at Outreach about a month ago, and there was a girl there, and I was just making small talk with her, and it was with Rock in the Streets. If you ever get a chance to go out on a Saturday, you should do it. It's such a blessing. And so I was talking with her, and I was saying, what do you do? You know, and she said, well, I don't really do anything. My son actually just started going to first grade. So I was like, oh, do you go to school? Do you have a job? And she's like, no. And I was like, oh, you know, at that point, you're like, oh, God, what am I? I'm digging myself in a hole here. Okay. So then I was like, and then she said, you know, I haven't tried to get a job because I'm afraid of my past. And someone needed to invite her to the table. And that's what I did that day. I said, well, girl, let's have faith. Let's step out in faith. There's hope. She was too young to be scared to move on in life. Too young. See, we get that opportunity. We get that chance to invite people to the table and just take an opportunity just like that. That girl received Jesus Christ that day, not by me, but by the general altar call. But I believe that a seed was planted in her heart. And the outreach goes there every single week. Girls, do you want to be someone who invites your world to the table? Can we stand together? Can we pray? Let's pray for those people God's given to us in our hearts. You can think of their names right now. Those ones God's called you to invite. And let's lift them up by name. Let's lift them up by name. Go ahead and lift your hands as you're thinking of those names. And if you want to say them out loud, you can say them out loud. If they're family members, if they're friends, if they're acquaintances, if you're simply saying, God, I am open at stores. I am open on the basketball, Lord God, court. I'm open at my kids' soccer practices. I'm open with my teenagers and their friends. For God to use you, then let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your word that guides us on what to do, Father. And Lord, we are saying as women here at Women Rock, Father, we want to be used by you. Father, we pray for a burden for souls, God. We pray, Lord God, we would remember the lost sheep, Father. We pray that we would remember the lost son, Father. We pray for spirit-led, Lord God, invites, Lord. Let us see that ripe fruit that's ready for picking, Father. And we thank you for salvations, Lord. We thank you that the invites, Lord God, that the people would receive Christ, Lord, that they would make real dedications, that they would feel, Lord God, your love, Lord God, and step in faith with that, Lord. We thank you that we get to be a part of this amazing plan, Father. And Lord, we lift up the people in our lives right now by name, Lord. Those who need salvation, God, we lift them up by name, Father. You know them, Father. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would send people their way or send us, Father, any way, Father, we want to be used by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.